the cat's back.
You should have texted me to pick you up after my bus tour. Les studied the framed poster on the wall, which he'd seen many times before. He finally looked at her again, and she signed, "Did you understand? I could have come to get you."
"Yeah, I got that."
He hesitated, a hand at his ear.
"Wait a minute."
He reached behind one ear to pull off his hearing aid, and she carried the hanger with her dress for tonight's tour to the bedroom. When she returned a minute later, Les had replaced his battery and now cradled her pet against his chest.
"I didn't call because you have a business to run. You can't be chasing all over town because your brother's got plumbers in his apartment."
"Thanks." Good to know he appreciated her situation, but Les carefully avoided mentioning the elephant in the room. She'd recently raided their rainy day fund to bail him out. If he wanted to stay here, ground rules were in order. She glanced at his backpack and let out a pent-up breath. Her brother didn't need rules. He needed to know she would always stand by him.
"When do you have to go back to court?"
"Not today."
The kitten climbed to his shoulder and rubbed her chin against his neck.
"When?"
She spoke and signed, both, not wanting Les to misunderstand.
"Pretty soon."
"I hope your lawyer can get the charge reduced. He knows you weren't dealing, doesn't he?"
"He better."
Indignation flared in her brother's eyes.
"But you don't need to come this time. I'll be okay."
If he'd been okay the first time, he never would have been arrested. They'd been circling the French Quarter for nearly an hour and hadn't even parked the car, much less made an arrest. Mitch Guidry raised his window against the hubbub of sidewalk carousers, getting a jump on Fat Tuesday.
"Drop me off at the address we got. Let me grab the bail skip while you drive around the block."
"We never go in without two,"
Hal yelled over the roar of a passing tour bus.
"Besides, you're too intimidating to be believable as a meter reader."
Mitch rubbed damp palms on his thighs, taking in the blue uniform shirt and pants his brother wore.
"We're about the same size. Pull over and give me your shirt."
"No."
"You really think this ruse will work?"
"Long enough to get you through the door."
Hal stopped beside a sedan and jerked a thumb over his shoulder.
"Looky what I found."
Mitch jumped out to stop the traffic behind them while Hal backed the SUV. Nighttime fog poured in off the Mississippi, fuzzing the neon signs of restaurants along the street and the headlights of oncoming vehicles. Visibility low, no wind, high humidity.
"What are you doing, Guidry? You're not on duty."
But he definitely had a job to do properly. His three older brothers had made him a conditional member of their Big Easy Bounty Hunters firm. Operative word, conditional. They'd censured him before, rightly so. If he messed up tonight, they could turn their backs on him again. Mitch couldn't let that happen. He needed his brothers and his sweet elderly aunt more than they would ever know. Mitch sucked in the reek of stale beer from the bars behind him and guided his brother into the parking space. Someone slammed his back. He whirled and cocked a fist, stopping only when the whiskey-laden breath washed over him. Slurred words tumbled from the mouth of the drunken college student staggering in front of him.
"Calm down. You're not in Kansas anymore. Or Iraq."
Mitch steadied the kid before pulling out his cell.
"I'm calling you a taxi."
"We're fine."
And he was a horse's ass. Mitch stowed his phone and held out a couple of 20s.
"I'm serious. You need to take a cab."
The kid's companion hiccuped.
"We got enough."
"Don't drive. You hear?"
When they nodded, Mitch stepped away and waited while Hal closed the hatch. His brother pulled on a nondescript jacket.
"What were you doing?"
"They looked in need."
"You plan on rescuing every drunk you meet?"
"You really want an answer?"
Mitch flicked sweat from his temple.
"I can do without one."